Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. You wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Mark in chapter number 1. The Gospel record of Mark and chapter number 1. It's always interesting to study the life of our Lord Jesus Christ because He is always the perfect example for us. As we examine His life and as we look at His life, we can learn what He has done. And that, to be honest, some of the things that we do in our Christian life, some of the excuses that we make are just that, they're excuses. That we give excuses for everything. And we give excuses why we don't read our Bible. We give excuses why we don't pray. We give excuses why we're disobedient. We give excuses why we don't memorize Scripture. We give excuses for this and we give excuses for that. But that's why Jesus came. One of the reasons why Jesus came was to live a life that was an example for us to follow and to really take away some of the excuses that we make in our own lives. And we all could use help. We could all use encouragement. And this is the intent, is that we want to be an encouragement tonight. If you wouldn't mind, notice with me in the Gospel record of Mark, chapter number 1. The Gospel record of Mark, chapter number 1. And if you wouldn't mind, notice in with me, starting at verse number 22. The Gospel record of Mark, chapter 1. And in verse number 22, the Word of God says this. And they were for 21, we're going to start at 21 for context's sake. Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and they went straight, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread about broad throughout all the region around about Galilee. And forthwith they were come out of the synagogue and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And what we read here in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 35, consists of one day that the Lord Jesus Christ had. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to preach a message from this text. Jesus's long day. Jesus's long day. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, I'm just asking that you would speak to our hearts, that you would clear up any excuses that we may have made for ourselves, and Lord, that we would make specific decisions to get close to you. I thank you for the life that you've lived, that you lived. I thank you for the example that you were. And I'm asking that you would once again show us that example and use it to bring us closer to yourself. I recognize within my own heart, my own self right now, a spiritual warfare. I'm asking that you would set it aside. That the folks here could hear from you and that you would work. I'm asking that you would speak clearly. That you would be with me, fill me with your precious spirit. And that you would be a blessing to these dear sweet folks now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' long day. You thought you had long days. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to show you from this passage here about Jesus' long day. What was all entailed in this one single day? By the way, this was representative of Jesus' life all the time. He had a busy schedule. He had a lot of things going on. Notice with me, the first thing that kind of occurred in this thing is that they went to synagogue. Basically, we would say it this way, they went to church. Notice verse 21. And they went into Capernaum. So they're in a specific place of Capernaum, which is by the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus had made his headquarters. And straightway on the Sabbath day, that's their Saturday, the last day of the week, that was the day that they met together. And on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. So Jesus, on his busy day, he woke up in the morning and met with the people during the synagogue time, and they had service, and he was the teacher. Now, some people have had the privilege of preaching a little bit or hitting a ladies' meeting, but they say with the spiritual warfare and with the physical and the spiritual battle going on, they said that preaching a message from the Bible is equivalent to 8 hours of work because of the strain and because of the things going on. There's a lot of things going, knowing that you're going to stand before God and give an account, and you're trying to say things right, and you're trying to preach things right, and you're trying to get things across. And Jesus, he went into the synagogue and he taught. Now, how did he teach? Verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So notice the specific way that Jesus was teaching. He taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. Usually what Jewish people would do, and even today if you go to a Jewish synagogue, is they don't have preaching messages like we have. What they do is they have more philosophical discussions, and they say, you know, some people believe this, and some people believe this, and this is kind of the religious information we're giving you. And they don't preach with authority. They kind of leave it up and say, well, you know, you can decide what's right and what's wrong. I'm just kind of giving my opinion. I'm giving a thought. I'm just reading what someone else said about it. But when Jesus came in, he took the Word of God and read the text. He explained the text, he applied the text, and invited people to respond. Now that I've taught you this, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about this information? And when he preached, the people were astonished. They went, wow, we haven't heard someone teach like this. This is preaching. This is we haven't heard with someone with authority saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, because this is what the Bible says, what are you going to do about it? And so he preached. And again, he's preaching in a way that people have never heard before. So what happens is that their faces are certainly showing it. Sometimes I used to laugh and joke. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put hidden cameras up. And then what we're going to do is show the slides back of everyone's faces, because it's amazing to see what all different faces. I remember I had one person that they would just scowl at me the whole service, just looking at me. I'm trying, am I offending them? What's going on? And when I finally asked them about that, they said, preacher, that's my thinking face. That means I'm thinking. Okay, well, I don't know what you're thinking about, but that's okay, you know. Looking at people's expressions, and when you're preaching, you're supposed to give eye contact. I knew a preacher boy that he looked down the whole time, from the time he opened his Bible and he looked up and he hid behind the pulpit and he preached. And, you know, the messages were all right. He was just preaching. The one time he looked up, when he finally got enough bravery and courage to finally look up, he had been preaching like that for so long, everyone applauded because they were just so excited that he actually looked up. But when you preach, you're supposed to look up. You're supposed to look people in the eyeballs. You're supposed to preach to them. And that takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of dying to self and not being afraid of their faces and trying to preach anyways. But Jesus, he took time to preach in this long day, and he was teaching in the synagogue, and he's teaching them, and he may not be getting the response because the people don't know how to, they've never heard Bible preaching like this before. And that was a big event. But the event wasn't over. Here's the second thing that happened in Jesus' big day. Not only did he go to synagogue, or our equivalent to church, and preach a message and have a whole service. An entire service is tiring. That's why you guys need a Baptist nap in between services, right? And so after that, notice the second thing that happens. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, if you're in a church service like this, it'd be pretty amazing. Not only you got a preacher and you never heard a preacher preach before, and that was amazing enough, but at the end of the service, a guy stands up and he yells with a loud voice. This isn't quiet. He's not whispering. He gets up in front of the crowd. And this is a demon-possessed guy. So he probably has one of those deep bass voices that you probably hear about in the movies and stuff. I don't have a deep bass voice, so you just have to imagine it. But he cries out with a loud voice. And he says, "Let us alone." Hey, if someone stood up in the middle of the service and does anything, it usually gets everyone to look around. But does someone start yelling at the preacher, much less Jesus, "Let us alone. We know who you are." People are like, "Who is this guy then?" "We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Art thou come to destroy us?" Now, that's a powerful statement. Here's a guy saying to the preacher, "Are you coming to kill me? Are you coming to destroy me?" Imagine if you were in that service. You're going, "Wow, what is this? What's going on?" This is spiritual warfare going on, dealing with this man. He says, "Let us alone. I know who thou art, the Holy One of Jesus, Holy One of God." Verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." Now, the first one, "hold his peace," is because Jesus isn't advertising that he's the Son of God yet. He is the Son of God, and he's not necessarily trying to hide it, but he's not advertising it. Here's this demon in the middle of a church service saying, "You're God!" Hey, as if he didn't. People ever doubted that Jesus was God? Even the demons are saying, "You're God. You're the Son of God." In the middle of church service, in the middle of a Jewish synagogue, this demon-possessed guy says, "You're God! What are you coming to do, kill me?" No, Jesus says, "Hold your peace." And then he says, "Come out of them." Now, this wasn't a nice, pleasant thing. Notice what happens, verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him. The Bible uses that word on purpose. There's an unclean spirit inside of the guy, and it's actually ingrained in part of them. And it is being torn, separating from the guy, from the demon, being pulled out, being torn. This has the idea of violence being happening. This isn't a nice little cut thing or cut around the perforated edges. This is a tear. This is a violent thing that's occurring. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, and he came out of them, and they were all amazed. You would be too if you were in that church service. And they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves and said, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he, even the unclean spirits? And they do obey." Now they're all talking about it. We've never seen something like this happen before. We've never seen an unclean spirit get torn in the middle of a church service. We've never seen a church service interrupted like this. Wow. Now, If this was it, this would be a pretty fulfilled day. This is enough to tire anyone out, not only to preach, but also to have someone coming in and yelling at the preacher and a demon getting kicked out and everyone's watching it. That's a big enough day. But his day's not over yet. He's got to go on visitation. This is the third thing here. And immediately his fame spread around about through all the region around Galilee. And forthwith, so right after that, when they came out of the synagogue, so it was, let's take a pause and let's use our divine imaginations. First thing that happened, Jesus went to church in the synagogue. While he was at service, he preached. He preached a powerful message and people were looking at him going, wow, what is this? And then a demon-possessed man stands up, interrupts the service, starts in a yelling conversation with Jesus. Then the demon's ripped out of him. Now, if you were in a church service like that, would you be in a hurry to get home? You probably stuck around for a while and was trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And so there's a crowd, the fame has gone about, everyone's talking about what happened in church service. Man, you should have been at church, man. You missed all those things that happened. And people are talking about it, and they probably want to ask Jesus questions, and they're trying to talk with him. And so the ending of the service is probably a little bit more of an ordeal than everyone just disappearing. But there's probably talking and there's fellowship and questions and shaking hands and people trying to talk more to the Lord saying, what's going on? I want to know more about this. So finally, when they get done with the service and they get done with the shaking hands and everyone's gone home, forthwith, when they were done, they came out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So Jesus made a visit to some of his people. Simon, that's Peter and Andrew and James and John. This is right before he had called them out to be disciples. So basically, he's visiting them before he starts the church. He's visiting. He's making a home visit. He's following up on them. But when he's home, notice this, but Simon's wife's mother, that's his mother-in-law. That means Simon had a wife. That's what it said here. Simon had a wife. He was married. Peter was married. But Simon's wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. So Jesus goes, makes a visit, and he shows up at the house of Peter and Andrew, and James and John happen to follow. Hey, they said, Jesus is coming to your house. We're going to come to your house. And so Jesus is visiting. And in the middle of the visit, Peter says, hey, my mom, she's really sick. Could you pray for her? Jesus says, we can do better than pray for her. Let me go see her. Okay. And so he came to her, verse 31, and he came to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered to him. So one minute she's laying sick of a fever with the idea that she's about ready to die. She is that sick. Jesus comes in, takes her by the hand and says, get up. And she gets up. The fever's gone. But notice this. Not only is she healthy, but notice what happens. And she ministered to them. You know what that means? She went and cooked supper for them all. Ladies, how often when you're sick and you're dying of a fever, do you feel like cooking afterwards? I mean, he healed her. And she was so thankful and so feeling so good that she said, here, let me take care. Let me be a blessing. Let me try to do some things around the house. Now, that's a big visit. He went to go visit some of these prospective church members and talked with them and was visiting them. In the middle of the visit, found out that Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And Jesus went and raised her by the hand. And she got up, started serving. Now, if this was it, that's a pretty fulfilled big day. I mean, there's been a lot of excitement. I'd be tired after that. You'd probably be tired after that. You'd probably be tired just being an eyewitness of this, much less being the person involved in here. But let's notice the fourth thing now, all right? So Jesus went to church, went to synagogue, had a discussion, preached, had visitation, or had people finally get out of the service. Who knows how long it took? Finally out of the service, he went and made a church visit. This visit took a while because not only did he raise her almost from the dead, but they had to wait for her to cook supper. They didn't have microwaves. She had to cook everything fresh. She had to do the cooking. They had to eat. They had to do blessing. But now the sun sets. Now the sun sets, she could relax, right? Get in the lazy boy, the recliner, sit back, relax. Notice what happens to Jesus in his long day. The fourth set of things that happens, verse 23. And at even, that means nighttime, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and to them that were possessed of devils. So let's put the scene in our mind. Jesus and Andrew, Peter, James, and John have just had a good meal served by Peter's mother-in-law. They're sitting back at the table, and all of a sudden, the sun's setting down. Someone's knocking on the door. Is Jesus home? We heard he's here. Yes? And he goes outside, and maybe there's a person there that's diseased. Maybe they have some type of palsy. Maybe they have something where they're having muscle control. And they said, this guy's had this for a while. Can you help him? Maybe he's got the shakes. And Jesus says, sure. And he heals him. And just as he heals this guy, he sees a couple more people coming to the house. And he heals those people. And next thing you know, everyone from the region has traveled. They heard about the church service and what had happened that morning. And they had traveled from wherever they were at to get to this town, to Capernaum. And they're all standing outside Peter's house. And they all are wanting Jesus to heal him. And individually, he deals with them one by one. And then even when the sun was set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devils. And all the city was gathered at the door. You thought you're... Can you imagine an entire city showing up outside of your doors? Because everyone wants to see what's going to happen. And you have a long line of demon-possessed people. Imagine that type of crowd, right? You got demon-possessed people waiting in their line to get torn out. Some of those demon-possessed people may not have wanted to have gone. And you got people who are sick, people who are diseased, and they're all showing up outside of the house. And Jesus deals with them. Now, the first person came at even when the sun was down. And all the people of the region came and all the people of the city. That took a while to deal with them all. Verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered the devils not to speak because they knew him. So he's dealing with all these people. This is a long day. Jesus went to a service. He preached. During the preaching service, there was a demon-possessed man who had spiritual warfare. He had to deal with that. Afterwards, he went and made a visit. During the visit, he healed the mother-in-law. After the visit, after supper was over, after the sun was gone down, the whole town's there knocking on his door. Hey, you need a couple days rest after all of this. But I want to show you something special about Jesus' long day. Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, that's Jesus, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus had a busy day, and by the way, it was like that a lot of days. Most days it was that busy. But you know what? It wasn't so busy that Jesus said, I don't have time to pray. In fact, that was the secret of Jesus' human powers. He recognized he needed the Lord. He needed to spend time with God. He recognized that the busier he was, the more time he needed to spend with the Lord. And you know what he had to do? He couldn't wait until morning. He had to purposely wake up before everyone else, just for the purpose of getting the time alone with God. When we think of our day and how much we get to spend time with God, sometimes we say, well, I'm just too busy to pray. If you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy. Something needs to change. Some people said, I don't have time to read my Bible. Then you're too busy. You see, the secret of the Christian life is our time alone with God. And we have to make it fit. There is nothing more important in your day than for you to be in your Bible and for you to pray. more important than your job, more important than your kids, more important than anything else is that time alone with God. Because until you have that time alone with God, your work day is probably not going to go like it should. Until you've had that time alone with God, you being the parent to your kids you ought to be is probably not going to go. You know why? We need God's help. Some of us have dealt with kids. We have kids at different ages. So it's no stretch for me to say dealing with kids takes lots of patience, and often more patience than we have. You know what the secret is? Time alone with God. Now, I've got a great wife, but unfortunately, I'm flawed and I have issues. You know the only way that my wife can deal with me is if she takes time alone with God and otherwise I'm impossible to deal with. You know, the only way that you could spend time with your husband or your wife is if you spend time with the Lord. That's the only way to take care of them and to deal with them properly and not to be gruff when they trying to say, hey, something needs fixed. What are you talking to me about, woman? You're always nagging me. No, you know, I'm sure you've never had conversations like that at home. You know how to prevent that? By spending time with the Lord. You know how not to get the rolling eyes and the furious thing when your boss lays more work. Don't you understand how overworked I am already? Spending time with the Lord. So that way you could say, thank you, sir. May I have another? You know, the only way to be able to deal with the things and the issues that come up is with our time with God. And the busier we are, the more we need that time with the Lord. You may have to fight to get that time scheduled in. You may have to rearrange or do something. But Jesus was our example. He had a busier day than most of us can imagine. And yet, he said, I need to get alone in a solitary place. And I need to spend time with God. Because this is needful. My time with him is needful. The only way I can have the power, the strength, the courage, the aptitude, the endurance to face my day is if I first spend it with the Lord. I've been saved well over 30 years now, and I'm thankful for Lord for it. One thing that I've noticed through all these years is I can tell the difference in my days, the days that I spend time with God versus the days I don't spend time with God. And you know, knowing that, sometimes we still have to fight to read our Bible. Knowing that I need my Bible, we still have to fight. Sometimes that prayer life. Let me give you how to pray for me. Sometimes people say, how do you pray for pastor? You know how you pray for your pastor? That he has the time to spend time in prayer and Bible reading. That God guards that time. Because you know what Satan wants to do to me? He wants me to make me so busy that I don't have time to read my Bible. He wants me to get so occupied and so busy that I don't read my Bible, that I don't pray. If I could tell you a personal failure that I have, is my failure to pray as I ought. Now, I'm not saying I don't pray, okay? I pray, but one of the things that I recognize is I need to pray more. I need to pray for you more. I need to pray for each person in the church more. And that takes time. And more important than some of the other things that I may do is that time for me to pray for you and to pray for others around the church that are associated, that we're trying to get in. And you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to get so busy that I fail to spend that time. So how can you pray for your pastor? That God protects that time, protects my Bible reading, protects it. You know what's the best thing I can do to pray for you? Is to pray that you're in your Bible. To pray that you are praying. And not just praying. Let me define what I mean by praying. In fact, let's let the Bible define what we mean by praying. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus went into a solitary place, somewhere alone without distractions, and prayed. We call it closet prayer. What do I mean by this? You are not getting effective prayer by playing solitaire and say, all right, God, oh, King, you know, playing games and praying is not the solitary thing. As much as I'd like to say, driving and praying is not the same thing as the solitary pray, especially, you know, since you can't close your eyes. It's not good for you to close your eyes while you're driving. What I'm talking about is getting rid of distractions, getting into a place where you are alone with God without distractions. Parents sometimes look at me and say, don't you understand I have kids? Yes, I do. But you know what? You have to fight for that time. You have to guard that time. If you have to wake up before them, then that's what you have to do. But there's nothing more important than this time alone with God, without distractions, without anything. This idea of closet prayer. Jesus separated himself to a solitary place without distractions. That's what we need, to actually get a hold of God, to spend time with him in our prayer time, in our Bible reading time. With Jesus' long day and everything that went on, he said, it's this prayer time still so important that instead of sleeping in, he woke up a great while before day just for the purpose of spending time with God. So what do we do with this? How do we apply this? When is your time alone with God? When is your closet time with God? When is it when it's just you and the Lord? Can you tell me a time and a place where you meet with the Lord? That's what's needful. Where is your prayer closet? One of the great encouragements we had, my wife and I, we went to a little widow woman's place. And one of the things she was excited to show my wife is she says, this is where I read my Bible. This is where I spend time alone with God. And that's the thing she wanted to show my wife. I want to show you. Come here, come here. This is where I pray. You need to have a prayer place like that. You need to have a place where it's yours. I heard of an old preacher, and I don't remember which one he was, but I heard of a preacher who was in the same place for so long that he would get by his bed every night to pray, or his little prayer altar, that he actually wore grooves in the floor where his knees were at over all the years. Do you have that sacred place of prayer where this is your place? This is your altar to the Lord. This is your special time. When is that place? What time is that place? I meet with the Lord at 7 o'clock. I meet with the Lord at 9 o'clock. Where is that time and that place? Where is your prayer altar? I'm trying to put an emphasis here that if you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. Something needs to change. Something needs to be fixed. And I'm inviting you now to come and tell the Lord. That's what I want you to do, is I want you to set an appointment with God and say, God, this is where I'm going to meet you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. So God, tomorrow I'm setting an appointment at 7 o'clock at this location and I'll meet you there. Tomorrow, God, at such and such a time and such a place is when you and I are meeting together. And so that's what I'm asking you to do, is I'm asking you to make an appointment with God tonight for tomorrow. And I want you to be so specific that me or Miss Lee or someone can say, where and when is your prayer time? Not that we're trying to be mean. We just want you to have somewhere specific. This is where I meet with the Lord. This is when I meet with the Lord. And make that your guarded, special time. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.